I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Is he walking or am I?
Is it a little double act here? Do we go Mourinho, Lampard, double act?
Oh my God. That is mental.
Look how much it moves.
You're a freak.
Why? Oh.
It's okay, hard.
Jim. I'm so fed up. Luke, just support a proper club, Jim. It's not hard. Luke, you. There's no way it's harder to support your club than it is to support my club. So, yes, I'm rattled.
Just so everyone knows, like, I thought we better tell you guys something. Well, you're the sluggies, but me and Jim were thinking about stopping the pod. Sorry. I'm only joking. We were just talking.
Did anyone buy it? Enough's enough. At the end of this season, we will stop talking about the 23-24 season. People do that. Do you know, people do that on like Twitter. They do the sort of like the attention seeking tweets. That's what we just did there at the start. They're just sort of like framing it in a way that like this, it's come. We've got an announcement. Why I'm quitting YouTube. Yeah. I've always wanted to do that video. I've always wanted to title that video. Do you want to be the greatest? I think people would really enjoy this if you just went, I'm quitting YouTube because I've made so much money. I don't need to do this anymore. That's a great video. Like, I'm even like, well done, Jim. Fuck off. You lot, only the patrons get that. Let's start the podcast here. Right. The podcast is starting right now. Okay. I'm on this camera because I've just had a delightful little look to the side camera. But you've missed out on that because you're not a moist slug. Shame on you. But please stick around for the rest of the podcast. Welcome back to James and Fluff for now. Excited.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Hello, mate. I'm good. We're going to talk about unemployed managers and we're going to find a home for several of them, which is going to be great because it feels like a lot of movement in the market and there could be some big names coming back. But we also want to just maybe have a look at some names that we'd like to see back in the game.
Premier League's been suspiciously patient with managers recently. Do you not think it seems like there was a season a couple of years ago, there was like 13 sacked by March, last year?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, let me find up the because do you what is here's a question for you.
Yeah,
is Ten Hag gonna figure this out? is he figuring this out?
Well, it does. I mean, the results would suggest, Jim, that he might be figuring it out. The pressure's not on him, and to give Glazers credit, and not that it's probably just didn't want to deal with it.
Three cheers for Glazers? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that. well, I mean, we should talk about that. There was a BBC article about how much they spent on their squad, but before that,
that's great.
Ten Hag has been given. There has never been any pressure on him apart from people like me, you know, bugger all. Saying he's not good enough. I still think he's not going to be the guy that's going to be able to get Manchester United to wherever they be. And this new infrastructure at United, which is really interesting, and we should be concerned as fans about what's happened behind the scenes at United, that perhaps they will look to someone else eventually. But Ten Hag will be under more pressure when Ratcliffe is in there, and if Dan Ashworth takes over, he'll be under more pressure then because he has to deliver. Whereas it feels like under the Glazers, he's just been allowed to. They didn't want to deal with it. He's done all right, and so he was never going to get sacked in this situation unless things got really dire. There's a weird irony is this.
I got asked on Twitter. We did our Twitter space, hosted by Ben Bowman in the chat right now. It's really good. And a question that was put to me was that, will Ten Hag survive? It was put to the AA, who was one of the contributors. Got a channel as well. Go check him out. And my gut went to the idea that he can't. I feel like his days are still numbered. But if he...
Do you?
Yeah. I just... Yeah. It doesn't... Yeah. Where is he going to go? Is he going to go in the summer? Is he going to go there?
He gets the...
Here's that article you're talking about, actually. So, Man United... It's a great headline. It is a good headline. Manchester United's 2023 squad is the most expensive in history. We did a podcast a couple of weeks ago looking at players that had lost their value over the last 12 months, and Antony was the player who'd lost the most. And this was saying that Man United squad last year were the most expensive ever assembled in football.
Crazy. It doesn't take into account some of Chelsea's spending, but yeah.
Does it not?
That's mad. I read the article. Years. It's up to 23. So it's like a large part of Chelsea's spending. It didn't, or the financial year didn't include. But the reality is that is an insane amount of money. And it's an example of the ineptitude of what has been going on at United for years, and what they're trying to fix right now by handing over the footballing operations to Ratcliffe, because that needed to happen a long, long, long time ago. Because ultimately, all of this money spent should have put Manchester United easily on a par with City.
Yeah, let's see what you could have won. Where should they be when you spend that amount of money? Do you know what it does show?
It should be the biggest sides in the league. I mean, there's no, you know, a Man United fan will dismiss Manchester City as a plastic football club. You're spending the same amount of money. The only thing that City had to do was to catch up with you. The fact that City are winning constantly is as much about Manchester United's failings as it is about how good City and Pep are. They should be in this situation, but they've just had the wrong decision making over and over again. And what they're putting in place now worries me a little bit, because they have the revenue to operate with in a way that very few can. And with the right leadership. I've talked about so many times, Jim, if a fish thinks, it thinks from the head, and that's what's happening at Manchester United. But you have institutional people at football clubs. Like I've said, I'm not going to go over it again, but Alex Ferguson, Wenger, Abramovich at Chelsea, all of those. United haven't had one of those. They haven't had that person who institutionalizes the club in one ideology, one idea of how we operate. And they probably have that. This is their best chance now. And
You would imagine there'll be a sort of a sensible nature to it now. In terms of the Glazers themselves, isn't it? It's mad that I remember my dad saying this to me so clearly when I was 16. He said, his dad's just generally is quite sort of like kind of kind in the way that he speaks. He'll sort of look you sort of dead in the eye. I remember him saying, it will blow your mind, James, how much stupid people can make.
Yeah.
It's like there are people on £100,000 a year who are so dumb, James. He's like, so serious. What are you trying to... Are you giving me hope here, Dad? Or is this a cautionary tale? Because am I smart or not? You've got to be thick here, Dad. I'm just about to move my GCSEs in. I don't really need this.
Mate, there is people in my, not my close circle, but I know through other people, and they've got jobs in the city, and I'm like, you're earning enough.
you're a melt, mate.
It's not even that. It isn't even that, Jimmy. It's like they're incapable. And they're like, how are you doing this?
Yeah.
Unreal.
But with that in mind, so with Man United in mind, the thing that I think would be the most fearful thing for sort of non-Man United fans or people that want Man United to do well is the Dan Ashworth thing. Or is like, oh, they're going to, like, oh no, they're going to behave properly. They're going to they're going to become a functional football club with smart individuals at the top. Like, it's amazing that the Glazers, right? This is a horrible take, and I feel free to get angry, but you probably get where I'm coming from. The Glazers have done brilliantly here, right?
Oh, what you mean their decision making now?
No, they've done horrifically, right?
Yes,
but at no point it seems to me have felt any form of emotional guilt towards the dismay they've caused.
No,
they
none at
still.
All.
Yet still having an asset that is probably as, has as much money in the bank as possible, having spent no money themselves, they've not lost any money at all. And now they've sold a little bit to an asset that is, let's say it's worth 5 billion now, that will, all you've got to do now is stay in the background and wait till it's where you've sold 1 billion of the 5 billion that it's worth. Wait for it to be worth 12 billion, doing nothing, and all the pressure. Because okay, maybe no emotional toil, but maybe a touch of pressure was applied to them. You'd think, like, even if they are like, you know, those completely narcissistic egos who've just got so much money that these are just little playthings. Maybe there was an element of pressure there, but even that's gone now. Now, if it does well, go, well, hang on a minute. We gave him the keys. We're just sitting back now. And there's no way they don't make money. They've played a blinder.
They have played a blinder. No, I don't think anyone questions their ability.
They'll get angry. I get it.
No.
But your anger is directed to the wrong person here. Okay.
I don't think that the anger goes that. I think they understand that they're good business people. They bought United without spending their own money and leveraged debt from the club, right, to buy it.
Yeah, which is obviously it's abhorrent. It's totally wrong, like, all of that. But could you have done what's happened at Man United? Could you have done that at other clubs?
Well, the club has to be worth enough, doesn't it, in order for to raise the but it would have just been a smaller scale, I think.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if it probably wouldn't pass in the modern era for a club to be able to do that. They have to prove that they have the finances to buy it with their own, with their own finances, essentially. I don't think they can leverage debt against the acquisition, if that's exactly what Glazers happened. But whatever it is and whatever's happened previously, handing over the responsibility to someone who's willing to pay £1 billion for that responsibility, and then it being all on him if it goes wrong, is kind of a masterstroke in terms of business from the Glazers. Like, and it's not, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but good and shrewd or good business acumen.
Morally correct. Isn't always something that's self-serving are two different things, aren't they?
But they've like you say, Jim, they've removed themselves from the responsibility of what happens on the pitch, handed over to people that know what they're doing. Clearly they do, because they've made two big acquisitions already, including Dan Ashworth if he comes. And it makes sense. So everyone should be worried, not concerned about what United are doing. They always had the potential to, like I said, spend massive amounts of money. They've always done that. But they haven't had the right people choosing the right acquisitions. And Ten Hag was given way too much responsibility in bringing the players in that he wants to. A lot of it.
It's going to be interesting, though, because what happens time and again is, he's the guy. Like, that's happened for Man United for so long with so many different people. And because you kind of, it's an easy bet to go, oh, this guy must be the guy. Because you just, it's Man United, like they're enormous.
So would the acquisition of Anthony happen now if Dan Ashworth is in charge? I don't think so either. But it may have done if Ten Hag was of the position that this is a crucial part of my plan. But then he has to justify why the player should be brought in to someone like Dan Ashworth. And then the decision is made by the board whether or not they're going to finance that move. There was no one in between them. Whoever was in between the acquisition and Ten Hag didn't do their job properly because the guy is not a Premier League level player. Oh, Sam Peoples.
Yeah. Oh, just quick shout out to our boy Sam. He's probably there. Look at that lovely face. I chatted to Sam obviously on the pod a few weeks ago. Knew he was going to have his surgery. He's had his surgery. I think he's all okay now. Tapping him up for meds.
Just got some morphine tablets and they sound all right.
Yeah, so. Just felt like a bit of a maybe not the he time to do it, but at the same time, he's probably heavily under, you know, dosage.
There's no
at the
better
moment.
Time.
Probably
to be...
not a better time to do it. You're right. Again, yeah, shrewd. No again, to... shrewd.
Shrewd. Not ethical, but shrewd. I get what I want. Yeah. I don't. He hasn't actually sent me any yet. So, Sam, if you are watching, please do. Yeah, big shout out to Sam. Tried to call him yesterday, didn't pick up. So.
He's probably live streaming.
But he's got long 14 months ahead of him in his recovery. So good luck, Sam. We love you.
Indeed. And we've got Samism a little bit later on. So back to that Ten Hag element. I just think that if they have a very clear plan in place, it seems back to front to have him as the manager. Because you're going to have this very clear philosophy. You're then going to want a manager that is utterly aligned with it. Now, maybe... Mm. You know, Ten Hag makes his way, cap in hand, and goes, don't make me redundant. Please don't make me redundant. And they go, yeah. Well, we've got to do it this way now. Well. And he goes, fine. And probably in that moment, he's shown a weakness that will get him the sack anyway. But if he can kind of start to get it moving, because again, another thing I said was that in the Twitter space was, at what point all these sort of late wins and victories, at what point is that sort of impressive? Like with McTominay sort of winning these games, and at what point does the luck run, or at what point does the luck run out from that point of view? Because even the game against Villa, they shouldn't have won that game. Like they've got away with a lot this year, really have got away with a lot. But the other side is, I've seen people talking about that these injuries and these players coming back could make a difference. But I just think Ten Hag, it just feels like he's on borrowed time. And with that in
you see, and the additional pressure when new owners come in, a new direction comes in, they've got their ideas. They will inevitably give him time, but the minute it starts to go less than ideally, that's a horrible sentence. Then they'll pull the trigger because they'll have a plan.
Are you laughing at this? So I asked the people, what managers would you love to see back in the Prem? Got a bit of a tier list, and we're going to assign a club for sort of a list of different available managers right now. But I laughed at this one as well. It's from Al Bollins.
What's his name again? I can't remember his name.
So, little quiz for the chat. Who is this? He claimed that he was the best manager in the Premier League. Newcastle fans will be straight in the comments on this one.
Back to your dad who says it's amazing how rich stupid people can be.
Well, yeah, he sort of. I mean, I think he just went.
What's his name? Is it Carr?
John Carver. Carr's... That's correct.
John Carver,
the goat, best coach in the league, best coach on one stage. Very good point. Didn't really get the chance he deserved. Poor bloke.
But obviously misplaced arrogance. Like Sherwood used to say, my win record at Tottenham is second to none. Second to none. He's putting himself up there with some of the greatest because he did all right for 6 months.
That's such a great example. Misplaced arrogance. Or then you have the other side of it, whereas Warnock, things you have to fake it till you make it a little bit as a manager, I think. A lot of people wanted Brucey back. They want Jose back. So let's give this a go.
Okay.
Because I've got a tier list here. And I know I do a lot of tier lists, but it's just an easy way of doing it. I've got a whole list of managers and I've assigned some clubs to make available for them. What is the most likely destination for these people. Now, we've got a whole list of people. We'll just make our way through it.
Chelsea should be in there as well, really. But
if to finish on the Man United thing, if it's not Ten Hag in the future, who do you see? Who's next? Who's next?
It's such a strength.
I think there's a manager who's...
Do you?
Who's ruining Harry Kane's move to Bayern Munich right now, who I just think feels a bit Man United-y.
Oh, too cool.
I think Tuchel's a bit Man United-y. Well, I don't know, I said Ange, didn't I? I did say Ange.
It's not happening. There was a report from a journalist in Australia. You know that Liverpool is like a fucking obsession in Australia, like Liverpool and Man United. Yeah. And there was a report from the bloke who called his moves from Brisbane to Japan to Celtic. He's now saying that Liverpool will make a move for Postecoglou in the summer.
He's in the know, isn't he?
Apparently, but like, bear in mind, they're obsessed with Liverpool. And he was a Liverpool fan growing up, so who knows? But I doubt it very much. The way he's talking, I just can't see. He knows how badly that would play. He's too much. He's just not that. Or maybe I've had my heart broken so many times. I don't know anymore. But I don't think so. So Manchester United. Sorry, go on.
So yeah, I think Tuchel is an option from there because I just think
Tuchel's the right profile because he has the experience of managing a club of that stature. Like, instantly, I thought of the Lisbon manager, Almiron. Is it Almiron? Almiron.
Got to get a big gig soon, isn't he? He'd be fuming. Almiron. He's been linked with the Portuguese curbs.
But he needs something in between. Like, it's almost like Alonso. You just think, mate, is Liverpool too early for him? Especially following Klopp. Big shoes to fill. You need a full guy in between. This is what Liverpool should do to protect Alonso. This should be the long-term plan. Just throw Gerrard to the Wolves. Give him the job for 6 months. Make everyone unhappy. Yeah. Then Alonso comes in. That's the plan.
Yeah.
Just comes in and swoops in.
I think there's a shout on that. Gerrard, but imagine he does well. And everyone's like...
he does.
8 months in. So what? 8 months in, they're third. Having a bit of a push for the title. Everyone's going, oh, fuck's sake. Alonso's going to go to Man United in a minute.
How well... What would Gerrard have to do in order for Liverpool fans to not be happy, but you can't sack him?
Yeah.
Third, isn't it?
It's third, isn't it? Yeah, third's the sort of... get sacked in third, can you? People get sacked in third?
What's not?
Did you see that? Did you see a story about the Ivory Coast manager?
If you're Real Madrid... Yeah, they let he got sacked, didn't he?
He got sacked in the group stage after a horrible defeat. They went on and won the tournament. Is that smart movement, or was he unlucky?
Who managed them then?
I don't know, I'm afraid. I just know the basics of the story.
Sorry.
Do you know it?
I
don't fucking know. Okay. But he seemed happy when they won. I watched the last 20 minutes of the final. All right.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah. I watched a bit of it. I was like, this is crazy.
The pitch was terrible. I think with Gerrard, thing is with Gerrard, I'd love to know, Liverpool fans, let us know in the comments, how, and in the live chat right now, and if you want to be a patron, you can do so. Oh, by the way, in terms of being a patron, Tails said, we asked about the, so if you become a patron, you get to enjoy the mailbags with us each week for less than a London pint. And I was getting a bit of heat on that. But Tails has come to the rescue. He said, I own a pub in Leicestershire, and my patron subscription to you is less than a pint of Carling in Leicester in my pub.
Fucking hell. Pint of Carling. I've got a question for you, Tay. Tails. If you own a pub, do you have to have Carling in there? Because Carling is piss.
Yeah, is that your choice, Tails?
Are you putting Carling in there? Or is Carling...
Was it there when you got there?
Carling
haven't changed the barrel because no one fucking buys Carling, do they?
Carling is it's absolutely
local,
dog water.
It's local to Leicester, maybe. I think that's it. You don't see Carling in London. There'll be no Carling in London. That we're sure. Anyway, he said
the only time you drink Carling would be like 4 a.m. at afters. everything's run out, and you're just trying to just hold on to that buzz. It's a cat, not even on a fridge, on the side of someone's kitchen cabinet, half open.
So he says, look, if that's not a bargain, I don't know what is. Also, as James well knows, the Midlands is the pits. So therefore, the Moisty subscription feels like real value for money. They're good.
Oh, you do you remember your sort of your campaign against Midlands?
Yeah. God, that was a 3-year campaign. No, I do remember that. So if you want to become a patron, you can let us know. You could get involved. So hang on. Ben Bowman says, does Gerrard ever get another Prem job? That's a good question. Is he an artillery?
That is a good question.
Let's check.
Let's stick him in there.
He's not, annoyingly.
Oh.
Poor work. So I'll tell you what, let's assign him as an example within our tier list. Right. So we've got if they had to manage one of these clubs, where do you see them at? Sadly, we've got QPR at the bottom of this. Thanks, Kai. When I asked you to make this. Why put QPR at the bottom? Put them at the top. Liverpool, Bayern, Barcelona. He's put Bayern in twice. This is a car crash. What is that?
Can you edit it?
Yeah, where do we want to put there?
Stick Chelsea in.
All right. Think Poch will go, do you?
This is a mess.
Man United. Could you have been there?
Keep England. Bayern. Remove Bayern. Put in United.
Okay.
Because who gives a shit who manages Bayern? It's a tin pot league. Play it full of tin pot players. I'm not interested in it.
I saw the turn on Kane because the team's not won. Like, he scored so many goals. Like, give the guy a break. Ridiculous.
Mate,
He's a shadow.
This
for myself. What are you on about?
There's a constant conversation, and no matter how many times I try and have this, James, and trying to convince people that team achievements only means so much to an individual's credibility. For example, and I'm no Bouvier, he's tongue in cheek, but he said that Calvin Phillips can't be on the list in the club of the worst transfers in the Premier League because he won a treble. He did not. He belonged to a football club who won a treble.
Yeah, he watched a treble.
Which is why if Kane stayed in the Premier League and he was the top goal scorer, it would mean more than every single one of any of those players winners medals in the Premier League, because he's the one player that could do something that no other striker could.
It's team sport, that, Flav.
No, that
you can't
title
use that as a Calvin Phillips thing. Calvin Phillips didn't football.
I've moved on from Calvin Phillips, but I'm just saying, so whatever Aguero achieved at Manchester City pales into insignificance if Kane comes back and becomes the top goal scorer in the Premier League of all time. Because it's a fact that makes him the best striker to ever do it in the Premier League. There have been thousands of people, hundreds of people, rather, that have won Premier League winners' medals. Loads of them. Just really bad players have won Premier League. There's only one player.
I get that.
And so that achievement, for me, it by definition, because there can be only one, would make Harry Kane's achievements more important than
what if he's 45 fucking when he does it? Well, he's just lit, you know, like Romario's like smoking, going, yeah, like 1,000 goals. Yeah, I'm gonna go try and get to 1,000. You're 45, yeah. Romario, yeah, I want to get to 1,000. Like, that if Kane's still going at 45, is he the greatest? He's 45, just like plodding over the, you know, like Ian Rush was like 37, just still playing. It's like, Ian,
yeah,
you ain't got it anymore. Let it go, son.
The fact that he done it playing in a team that never won, that was never the best in the league as well, is even more credit. But my point is that I'm not saying that's the definition of achievement, although it is. But I can also just the fact that he gets dismissed as something, unfortunately, because he hasn't won trophies.
Yeah,
that's unfair.
Yeah,
whenever
it's absurd.
You're arguing who's the best striker in the Premier League,
yeah,
it's Alan Shearer, then it's Harry Kane, and there's no, but because Shearer won a league at Blackburn at the start of midway through his career, it's almost like there can be no other conversation. If Kane would have gone and done it at City, would he now suddenly be seen as a different player? Someone who should be considered as one of the best striker that the league's ever seen. It's merely because he is at Tottenham and there's a tax on that because we don't win, that he can't. He's not considered as such. And
it's interesting. It is interesting. The trophy thing is interesting. I think for his, it's a team sport, and so going off and winning trophies is important. Also, it's like, what is really important here? Like, I get what you're saying, but in terms of the sort of metric of I scored the most goals, but like, is that, I don't know, is that worth it?
He's dismissed. His qualities are dismissed or suffer somewhat because he hasn't won a.
Yes, won a I agree.
For a nation backed football club, like Ben asked the question, is what does winning a league at City actually mean? Nothing really.
Well, they do it every year. I did something with Zach, and we had to put five strikers. You had to put them in a list, and I put Kane quite high because I actually see. I look at the goals in a Tottenham team that's been not great. I see that as that makes him better.
Why is that even so? Why is it so difficult for people to understand?
It does seem.
It's really such a basic point.
Yeah,
but is true.
Yeah, I totally agree. Let's give this tier list a go. I'm not sure I'm even feeling it, but it's been made, and let's give it.
Okay, I like. Are we starting with Conte? I think we should go to Mourinho. Is there any world where he ends up at Chelsea?
So I think what's nice is let's make our way through the world that he can live. Now QPR, I don't see it happening, but imagine if his stock just continued to drop.
Take him. You wouldn't swap him now, would you?
Keep you flying, eh? No, we lost last night, mate. That's fucking.
Sorry, I didn't realize.
I've never been more confident about a game of football, and therefore so confident we would lose.
No, I've been there many times. Don't worry.
I can't do this anymore. Feel it. I got a little pang of like, I can't do this anymore. Because we've had so many opportunities to get out of the bottom three, and I like him, and I believe in what he's doing. But just fucking win the football matches.
Mate, he can't. It will come. He's been there 2 minutes. What are you doing? This isn't like you, Jim.
I just want just win the games, score the goals, and win the game. Oh,
it's so hard.
Jim. I'm so fed up with supporting QPR. I just win the games. Just let me have a go.
You're getting there.
I've been waiting in queue for ages, and like no one. You were like, oh, it's so hard under Conte. But then it's just handed to you on a plate. You just find some messiah because, of course, he wants to go to you because you're a big club with a great ground.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Jim, can I just give you a bit of perspective for a second?
Don't.
Last five games, beat Millwall, drew with Huddersfield, beat Blackburn away, drew with Norwich. You lost one game, 1-0, which you dominated possession.
They'd won 2 in 17. Luke, just support a proper club, Jim. It's not hard. Fuck off, Luke. Fuck you.
Where is he? Where is that prick? Where is it? Oh, yeah, I see.
I am supporting a proper club. Do you know how much harder it is to support my club than it is to support your club? I don't even know who your club is.
Who's your club, Luke?
I don't care. I don't care because it's not. There's no way it's harder to support your club than it is to support my club. So, fuck off. Yes, I'm rattled.
I'd love it if he supports Wrexham.
Do you know? Like, I get this is first world problems, right? My life is wonderful, but I have to show energy and enthusiasm for your teams.
Yeah.
Every single week.
That must be tough. And you get, I mean, look at your team.
And I'm happy to do that. I want us all to be happy. Okay. But fucking let me have a go. Right. Just let me through.
I struggle with this, Jim. Like
I expect better from you. Sorry, Flav. I'm not even listening to you and I'm talking over you. Catherine Heap. Fuck you. Right. Fuck Aston Villa. I hope you finish seventh and you're in the Conference League again. I hope you fail. Saying so rattled. I expect better from you. And by the way, Taylor Swift's fella is cheating on her with some bird. We all saw the footage, okay? And I didn't want to throw that at you, Catherine, but you made me do it. Right. Anyway, Jose Mourinho. Where could he be?
Well, Rory called for Chelsea to take him, didn't they?
Right. Well, Liverpool, not happening, right?
No.
Right. Man United. Man United. He's flirting. He's batting his eyes.
He's lost it, though, hasn't he? Like, he's done. Like, the Roma job was... He just did okay at Roma, and they loved... The fans loved him, and that was a big part of it.
He won a trophy, but didn't he? He spent a lot of money in the first year, which hurt him in the last couple of years, according to Doogie Critchley. Here's a question for you I was thinking about, right? What's more important for your next job? The amount of success you've had or the amount of failures you've had?
Isn't it the job you've done with the respective limitations of that club?
But so Mourinho, right?
Mm.
So who's got a higher stock in football? Mourinho,
yeah,
or Emery?
Emery at the moment, but
right. Who's been a more successful manager?
Mourinho, but football's changed. Football's changed significantly.
So,
like,
successes don't matter, do they? It's recent successes.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Emery's stock is infinitely higher at the moment than Mourinho's. I mean, look, what is his next job? Like, where does he go? What did you see? Did you give it to England? No chance. The FA are not going to work with him.
Sorry, I got this Taylor Swift thing wrong. I saw it on Twitter. I was okay about Taylor Swift. Right. Oh, was it from 2 years ago? That is good. Oh, it's proper dummy that. So basically, there was a clip on Twitter of him like getting a hug from this girl, and there's obviously something going on, but it's actually his girlfriend from 2 years ago. Yeah.
I did TalkSport the other day, and they were asking about Taylor Swift and the Super Bowl. Why is she such a big part of it? What's going on? Like, I'm sick of hearing her name. The music is shit. It's shit.
Yeah.
It is shit, Jim. I know Catherine's a big fan, but it's crap.
Actually,
while we're having a go at Catherine, 1975, what a load of shit they are too.
Oh, really? Wow, yeah. Catherine's taking an absolute battery here.
Yeah. I am rattled. I don't understand what. Explain it to me. Why she was such an intrinsic part of the Super Bowl? What happened? Why is she? Is she like a massive fan of American football?
The sort of cutting to her so much was. It was sad.
James? Is it because is she really into American football? Why was she, why?
So
is,
she's going out is with them. No, she's going out with one of the main players, basically. That's why they keep coming back to her. But what I would say is this, right? Catherine, good to get your take on this. Is the fact that they keep turning to Taylor Swift, is that somewhat kind of sexist in the fact that this is only interesting because she's famous and she's the girlfriend? Do you know what I mean? Like, she's like one of the most successful artists of all time.
You can imagine, show the pretty girl on Pete.
Well, now we're interested. Yeah. Now she's a...
Yeah, now... Like... Yeah. And what about all the other wives and girlfriends? Were they getting their screen time?
What?
No.
Jack Hancock. It's like Sophus Ellis-Bextor getting bummed by James Milner and constantly being filmed at the FA Cup final.
What?
Steady on, Jack. Steady on.
I like it. Fuck off, Ollie. Look, we are going down alleyways here because we're reading chat from the patrons as we're trying to do this tier list. If you want to be a part of that, you can become a patron. Less than London.
Yeah. If you want to get abused.
Yeah. But Ollie says, can I shock you here? I like 1975.
Again, they've been very successful.
They're rubbish.
They're rubbish. All right.
Rubbish.
Right, Mourinho, Man United, any chance? Where Barcelona again has links with Barcelona. Would he? Could he?
No, it's probably all not. Wrong. And plus the financial limitations. I don't see it.
Can Mourinho do it without a budget? By the way,
I don't think many managers can.
No, apart from Martin.
No, yeah.
Come on, Marty, I'm back. I'm back. There's energy there. Yeah. There's optimism there. Boys, we can stay up. Come on.
Do you know why I feel it's Chelsea?
Do you think he'll go back?
Because Boley has to get it right. He has absolutely made two horrendous decisions. Not in terms of their abilities as a manager. Potter's still a class manager. And Pochettino, as though his stock has fallen, he's a good football manager, right? He knows what he's doing. You can understand Todd Boehly's motives in employing both of those managers, right? But there was a huge Tottenham millstone hanging around Pochettino, which meant that the rope that he would be given to hang himself was very short by Chelsea fans. So Todd Boehly's next appointment has got to be one that the fans are on board with.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It doesn't have to be. It's beneficial to him if that is the case. Mm. And is there anyone more popular at Chelsea than Jose Mourinho?
Well,
is he popular? Or am I?
Is it a little double act here? Do we go Mourinho Lampard double act? I would love to see
I'd
that.
Love to see that. I'd love to see that.
I'd
both
love
of them,
to see that.
They love. Don't they love each other? They do, don't they?
Well, let's triple this up. Yeah.
Listen, though.
I can actually see that somehow.
No,
Lampson Mourinho. That kind of
like
works
it.
For me.
I know what you're saying. Lampard is his number two, bringing the good feelings back to Chelsea.
Yeah. Eddie Newton as part of the team as well, obviously.
Mate, do you know who would absolutely adore that? Roy Jennings.
Yeah, a bit of Eddie Newton.
He'd be so happy.
I think I'm winner. I actually could see that.
I could see that too.
I think Lamps would be Lamps would be desperate for a bit of Palace, wouldn't he?
You know how that ends.
If you're
Parrish, right? See Parrish, and you're looking at you going, if you make that decision, you don't belong anywhere near that football club. You have to sell immediately. If you're looking around at everybody and you go, who might help us here? Do you know what? I might give it Lampard end of season. You know you're relegating them. You know you are. So you he got the Everton job. Beyond me, how he got the Everton job. How did he get that job?
They kept him up.
It's just
where can Lampard failure. Succeed?
How did he get the Chelsea job?
It was like, you know, it was essentially just like the opposite of gardening leave, wasn't it? It was like coming here, it was interim, wasn't it? Just pop in for a bit and it was a car crash. Where can he succeed though, Lamps? I want him to succeed. I actually really like him.
Nowhere. He's a nice guy, but nowhere. He will never succeed in any managerial role ever because he isn't very good. Nor Steven Gerrard. Their brains are set in different ways.
He didn't actually fail. In comparison to what we've seen since, yes, Tuchel, but you've got Potter and Poch, who Lamps points per match, I reckon, if you take away the last season, is probably better.
I'll give it him then. Give it back to him then, if he's that good.
Could you see him as an England manager? And could you see Mourinho as an England manager?
No, because the FA won't work. Lampard more likely, probably, bizarrely, than Jose Mourinho because of the way the FA be. There's a reason that Southgate's been given the freedom to do whatever he wants to do. And multiple tournaments. Is he like our longest ever England manager? He's got to be up there somewhere, isn't he? As the longest reigning?
Maybe. I feel like Greenwood was there for a long time. I'm not sure about that, to be honest, actually.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they need a company. He got the job because he was a company man, which is fine. That it's fine to have a synergy between the managers and the FA, and that's important because it helps unify everything and everyone's pulling in the same direction. So I've got no issue with him being a company man. But Mourinho is the opposite of that. You know it's going to end in tears. The FA would...
Yeah. That is a disaster waiting to happen. Lampard, if you just be smart, go do the under-21s with Ashley Cole for a bit. Win some tournaments because we've got too many good players. Wait for the job.
I don't even want him on the list. Take him off. He's not getting another job. Take him away.
I think I've been harsh on that.
No. Right. I tell you,
Hansi Flick, Man United.
Can't possibly.
Could see that.
You could definitely see that. Yeah.
Conte, Man United. Where's Conte? Where's he ending up?
It could be Man United. Big warning signs, red flags. I don't think he's the right. They need to feel good, Manchester United fans, right? They've felt very unhappy with a lot of people at their football club for a long time. Antonio Conte does not bring happiness. He brings misery.
Yeah.
You don't want that at your football club. Send him to Liverpool.
That's the thing with him. Like, he's any of these jobs. First of all, he thinks he's too good for Palace, obviously. He thinks he's too good for QPR. Chelsea? Ridiculous. Chelsea would never go back, surely. And it's just, he's just bad vibes, isn't he? He's just horrible vibes.
No, but he is bad vibes. But Chelsea, his issue wasn't with Chelsea Football Club, was it? It was with Abramovich.
Maybe. I think at best, Barcelona on a weird one where he kind of behaves because he's just excited to be there.
No, but I would say his football's terrible, but it wasn't terrible again when he was at Inter. It was actually quite good. Mm. It's just at Spurs. He's a terrorist. The man is a terrorist.
Joe, I'm gonna power through some bits here, right? And then you can discuss,
But it's frustrating me that you've left Jose Mourinho in England. Why have you done that? He's never going to be a manager.
Would he take a Palace job?
No.
So right with the Palace job,
it's
Palace
Chelsea.
You think it's Chelsea? Right, he goes home. He's going home. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna chuck a load of people. Potter.
Yeah, Potter, England, 100% see that. Cooper, England.
Cooper looks like he should be Palace, shouldn't it?
Well, if on the news this morning, it was Glasner.
True.
He plays some lovely football, that boy.
Nathan Jones, when this tier list was made, I don't think had a job. Now has a job at Charlton.
QPR. Oh, he's got a job at Charlton.
A few people have wanted him at QPR, but Marty is here to stay. It's a Marty party.
Well, just quickly on QPR. Marty, no one's questioning him, are they?
I mean, if they are, they're morons. Like the most stupid people on the planet.
That's what I'm glad.
We've got the second best open play XG against in the league since he's come in. And we're in the bottom three.
How many games you got left, Jim?
About 40, something like that. I don't know.
14, that's fine.
Run out a little bit. Five points adrift now. Zidane, let's go Man United options, right? Villas-Boas, would we like to see him back? Would we like to see him back? I'm going to keep him off, actually.
Mate, what is
never
he
to return.
Where is he? He was at Shakhtar, wasn't he?
No, he's been all over the place. Lopetegui could be a Man United option. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to return with a better foundation around him.
No. Get him off.
So again, I think there's a few of these managers here, right? I'm going to put them in the Palace bracket. Solskjaer, Marsh, Bruce, Allardyce, both have been managers of Palace. I'm going to put Lampard in there as well. They're all right. Coming back to what we were talking about earlier, when it comes to managers, say Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Lampard, two great examples, right? Is it possible to actually be a success if you are the manager? Let me go to the league kind of make my point. If you are a manager of anyone between, maybe these three kind of prove it for you, but between 11th down, I guess if you just survive for a long time, then fine. But even, Iriola, maybe, because the style of football's like sexy enough, and maybe Silva, because the football's sexy enough. But I think Gary O'Neill and Thomas Frank. Even Thomas Frank, right? When people go, oh, what about, would he be an option? He's one of those ones where he's like the out left field option for a Tottenham job or a Liverpool job. But when it comes to the crunch, you don't want Thomas Frank, do you? If, say, Postecoglou went to Liverpool, you don't want Thomas Frank.
Nah.
Why don't you want him?
Just weird looking, isn't he?
What about Gary O'Neill? Done an unbelievable job. Or Iraola, do you want him? Done an unbelievable job.
Just stinks. Just all of it stinks.
Do you know what I mean? So, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who kind of got that job, or Lampard, who got that job at that top club,
yeah,
to then go and manage any of those other clubs. And so for Solskjaer and Lampard again, right? Solskjaer was at Cardiff, failed miserably, and only got the Man United job because he's a Man United guy, right? And Lampard, who did okay at Derby, but spent a lot of money, had unbelievable loans from Chelsea, and Everton, who ultimately has failed as well. Is it even possible for those guys to get a job? Is it worth it? Because say you're Lampard and you're in the Championship and you kind of get promoted with someone, people are still going to turn their nose up at you. I think quit is what I'm saying. Don't bother trying.
History shows that it typically doesn't work. Everybody's estimation would be that if Gary O'Neill got a job at a top six club, that it would fail, and inevitably it does. But so does almost every managerial appointment. It's just they're treated more harshly. I'll do you one here, Jim. It's about relative achievement. If Rob Edwards keeps looting up, that is a more difficult job than getting Spurs into the top four. So, by proxy, you, in the interest of fairness,
he should
potentially get an opportunity to manage a club bigger than Luton, it's just.
That's the crux of it for me. Like, this is why I kind of wanted. I know the tier list is a shit show. I get it. But what I really want to get to is the discussion over the sort of status of a manager and like the journey of it. It's weird where you are like Chris Wilder, like amazing. Like, he's had a great career as a manager, but you would never even entertain the thought of him getting a job of a team in the top eight. Like, it just feels like a lot of unfairness with it all.
Harry Redknapp used to say that. Do you remember John Steele? He was a manager of Bartonnet for a long time.
Dagenham, Redbridge, and Luton. He got the first promotion for Luton out of the conference or whatever, the National League into the.
Always operated in the lower leagues. And to Dario Grady, for example, that like managers that are steeped in understanding and experience. Mm. And Harry Redknapp says John Steele could easily do a job in the Premier League, just never given an opportunity. But it's reputation on experience, isn't it? Like, why did Pochettino break through from Espanyol to Southampton to Tottenham to PSG? Because he's done something different that John Steele wasn't doing. John Steele's not a great example. Postecoglou has made his way from the entire planet to get to Tottenham. There is opportunity if you're doing the right things.
Do you know what he did brilliantly, though, at Southampton? Right. He was obviously a good crop of players.
Yeah.
So you got, there's an element of fortune there where it looks like a better
at Spurs as well.
Yeah, that's true. Like you're getting the fortune of that. And do you know what he did? He skipped from Southampton to Tottenham quickly.
If you get years, wasn't it? 18 months.
Yeah, I think that's what I mean. When I'm looking at these Premier League managers, to get yourself one of those big jobs, what's happening at the moment, weirdly, is the sort of like when we're talking about options for the Man United job, to come back to that tier list, like someone like, say, like Lopetegui or Zidane. Zidane's had an incredibly high pressure job, but he's had like an embarrassment of riches to deal with in a league that you utterly dominate all the time. So if he was to go, so for him to actually like go to Man United and do something, so it just seems
he'd have to coach, wouldn't he?
In comparison to say like an Emery, feels odd to me, right? Or Lopetegui, right? Lopetegui's career is odd as well. Like, he's had some great jobs, but he's had like a disaster with Spain, then went to Real Madrid, and I've just described as an easy job. He's then failed miserably.
But
And then he's gone to Wolves and done well, but then he cried off.
The disaster for Spain wasn't about his performance as a manager, though, was it? It was how he went about getting that Madrid job while he's employed. But that, again, shows you something about his decision-making and his person. But he does have a reputation of... It's important. How important is it for Manchester United to have a manager who's had experience operating under that, in that pressure cooker of a club whose fans' expectations, but moreover, the media's expectations. The media create a lot of pressure around Manchester United. Most of them, if you talk to Adam McCullough, he's obviously frustrated, but there is this element of understanding about certainly Ten Hag it isn't mirrored by what you see when you hear Gary Neville talking about United. It's different, right? So do you have a manager who's confident and able to deal with that pressure that's put upon him by the media and elsewhere? And Lopetegui's been in those rooms before, but Gary O'Neill hasn't. So is the risk there so significant that he wouldn't have the experience to deal with it?
So if you were a young manager now and you want to get a job, you're not a name, and you want to manage Liverpool, how do you do it? What's the trajectory? Like, obviously you have to continue.
It's sustained success throughout every level of your management.
I think you've got to go abroad. I think you have to go abroad. Don't look at that, by the way. I'm going to show you something amazing in a sec. I think you have to go abroad because, say, like Lopetegui, I bet you could look at his career and it's as impressive as... Who's a good example? Say Roy Hodgson, who's getting hammered right now, right? He's been all over the place and generally been successful most places. Like, and everyone can find an example where it's not gone wrong. I don't know, it just confuses me. Whereas, like, De Zerbi being in Italy, was that sexy enough for him to then come over? Like, I think that kind of having that trajectory is quite useful as well. Because if you think of Jurgen Klopp, who's one of the most recent manager to get himself to being an icon whilst not having a great career. He and Mourinho, they had average job, then was able to get quite a big job somehow and do well in a kind of foreign league. And then they got that big jump to these like monster Premier League clubs. That's why Amorim's probably is a great example. Like, get yourself over to Portugal is what I'm trying to say. Okay. Right. Enough football chat. The Ars are staying up. I've changed my mind on that. Okay. Right. Now, we had a bit of an argument last week. Didn't end well. One thing I will say, changes are afoot, by the way, guys. I want to warn everyone. And you'll have noticed this by now. Two things. One, we're looking at the data and the intro's got to go, apparently, from the start of the video. But I'm not having it. We're going to hide it in the video each week. I'm going to hide the horns. We will retain the horns, okay?
As we
look to grow, apparently it's a stumbling block. But enjoy the horns now. Hang on, what time is that? 1:03. Great. Right. Second thing, Mike Viola. A few people talking about this last week. We've, I'm fortunate enough with the channel now, thanks to you guys and your support, got a few members of staff these days. People are far more diligent than myself. And so in the last couple of weeks, we've had a couple of timestamps. Will that be a regular thing? I don't know, because I'm not doing it. But someone else was willing to do that. Thank you, James.
I didn't even know. That is a big shift in our philosophy, though, isn't it?
I know. Mike Viola said, we once banned some people for asking for timestamps. What is actually happening? Blue card for the both of them. Unbelievable. Quick thoughts on blue cards?
I don't understand why, when referees are already struggling completely to manage football games, do you now give them something else to think about? Why don't the people that keep interfering with the game just go and fucking... Why don't they just... leave it as it is. right? There's nothing wrong with it. Actually, there are the things that are wrong with the game now are stuff that you've created. Just shut your fucking mouths and go about your business. Stop justifying your existence. Just leave us alone. Leave our game alone. Fuck off. That's how I feel.
I'll save it. Okay. We've still got some Samus and Soldiers Lost in Battle from last week. And the fallout to last week's anger. And an unbelievable weird flex at the end. Right. So, we might have some timestamps. Just like enjoy them or don't. Right.
Do people not want them then? Do we get rid of them then? Aren't they helpful?
I think, look, the important thing is to know that we're not doing it. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Shut Our integrity is intact. Roy Hodgson getting the sack today, probably. Well, but has he had a good career, is what I'm trying to say. You start really.
Yeah, but you don't win many football club, do you? Really? Do you take him?
I think he's massively disrespected, Roy Hodgson. I think he's so disrespected. He's had an unbelievable career.
Would you take him if he's open now, Jim?
It's all about the Marty party. Right. But say Marty got poached by Palace. Don't. Yeah, I'd take Hodgson. He's a good manager. He's just old, isn't
he? What happens though, Jim? Like, I don't want to throw. Actually, forget it. I'm not even going to say it. It's not worth it.
Right.
You can't do well. You're just going to get like Palace coming along, going, "We're going to take your manager now." It's just not.
We just need to get ourselves in the Prem, and then it's one like Rob Edwards, where it's like, "Well, I'm not going to leave this." I mean, we just got up, and then you've got him.
Yeah. Well, so, but yeah, but like Palace are going, "Oh, we want McKenna, Ipswich." He looks good. Oh, look at it. We're going to take everything, all your Ipswich's hopes and dreams away just because. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think as a manager, you shouldn't be allowed to leave during a club season.
I totally agree with that.
Unless you're sacked.
Oh, you shouldn't be allowed to be sacked. Unless you're fired. Either. Get on with it. Fucking get on with it. You're not allowed to be sacked.
This is our squad.
Right, lock it in.
This is our manager. Yeah.
You've got your squad numbers, you've got your manager number. Who's your number one? Stick with it. Get on with it.
And I'd like to see that. That's good. And they remove all the conversations like, he's got to go. He's got to go, isn't he? Obviously, he's got to go. But he can't. Rules are the rules. He's down at the end of the season. Stop having this conversation. Boring.
Totally agree. It would give us a... We'd struggle to have things to talk about, though. Massively. That would be
I mean, it's not great for us. It's not great for us, no.
But is it good for the game? No. Right, yeah. Samism. Max says, I have a Samism. My mate brought his new girlfriend to the pub the other day. He introduced her to us and then she walked to the bar to get some drinks. When she went, I proceeded to wind my mate up and put the idea in his head that she might fancy me over him now that she has met all his friends. Bit of a dickish move, Max, just saying, but I guess it's just a joke.
Yeah, Max, that's what are you doing?
He came back with, she wouldn't shag you with a 10-foot barge pole, mate. I couldn't stop laughing at his mistake. He put a weird image in my mind of me, his girlfriend, a 10-foot barge pole. Disturbing. That's the best Samisms are like that. As we'll go back to the originals, one of the original Samisms I enjoyed was she was a flatmate to another friend of mine, and she had her driving test or something. It was when we were at uni. And we were like, oh, God, were we loud? We'd had a night out. It was loads of us, like 15 of us. We'd had a night out. And we went, oh, were you able to sleep? Were you all right? She went, yeah. I was out like a log. And in my mind, I'm just thinking her pooing.
Slept like... I didn't think that at all. I just cleared it. She had made a mistake. Slept like a log.
I like the image.
And wouldn't shag you with a 10-foot barge pole is also... It makes sense, even though it is incorrect. That's
it's confused. Soldiers Lost in Battle, right? Regarding last week, Mike said, "I love being able to pinpoint the moment the Flav drops off. About 10 minutes before he's called out, you see his eyes go, head down, and the occasional grunt." Jim, bless him, I think gives him the benefit of the doubt, trying to soldier on through comments, but to no avail. Same again next week. Up the slugs. Tough. Born Red Films said, the devastation of seeing your comment on Flav's screen as he meekly turns his camera around after a thorough dressing down by Jim, knowing it will forever be unread. 1 week ban on Flav's phone. Well, Born Red Films, we've still got your Soldiers Lost in Battle, so we'll come back to that. But speaking of which, 1 week ban, I did want to touch on this. And just to, again, just to check in, are you needing to go, Flav? Do you need to get away? Are you still with me? Are you listening? Are you doing it again? Are you listening?
No, I'm listening. I'm bloody listening.
Hey, what? Oh, well, I'm a bit triggered, am I? Sorry about that.
Oh, hang on, James. I had a crisis last week. Like, I'm thinking the trains were all cancelled, and I'm thinking, like, it's not like they've got another Flav that they can just wheel out at TalkSport, is it?
Yeah. Do you think it's two of this guy? No. That's true. Exactly. That's true. Right, so 1 week bans. What we got? Arsenal fans, says Matt Hayes. Bit lazy, that, Matt. Bit lazy, I'll be honest. Kev De Bruyne, just to give us all a chance. Kev De Bruyne, just pop him out. Just let. What would be for the title race? What would be just a lovely gap? Just give Liverpool what, 8 point gap? Arsenal an 8 point gap. Two Man City what? Starting now. What feels like a fair like handicap? I think 8 points would be nice.
Mate, 8 points would probably there. Yeah, that'd probably do it, I'd imagine. They're just gonna steamroll the league, aren't they? And do you know what? Thank Christ. Thank bloody Christ. Anyone but Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
You might not agree with me, but
Mbappe news, 1 week ban on that. Bardi saying constant replays of goalkeepers being manhandled at corners.
Can I quickly get your thoughts on this very quickly, Jim? Why is it such a story around Vicario and defending corners? Like, this stuff happens all the time. He's made...
What's the story here, then? Have I missed something?
That he can't defend corners and that Tottenham... The way to play Tottenham is to set piece and just pile players on him. It's like, Brighton did it, didn't work. But City did it, did work. Yeah. But Everton do it. But Everton always do it.
Well, I think this... So everyone's... There's been a lot of chat about short corners and how that's kind of the way to go. I think we were talking about this. I think I spoke about this on the video, maybe. We were saying, should we do this? This is I know it's not a new thing, but in terms of being sort of on vogue, getting everyone on the goalie and putting an in-swinger on the goalie is the thing to do at the moment. Everyone's at it.
But we've been...
It's not a Vicario
age-old...
It's a goalkeeper thing, I think.
Yeah. Because they're not as physical as they used to be. Because they were... You know, they've been developed to be more like footballers, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and also there's a lot of... You know, there's a lot of six-foot-plus players these days. If you think of... Like, Everton, load of big players. West Ham, load of big players. Man City, load of big players. Arsenal, load of big players. Like, so if you put four of them around the goalkeeper, like, it's just got to get deflected and it goes in. Because maybe the goalkeepers aren't getting... They're not as dominant, you're right. Like, if you take... There's very few goalkeepers that are sort of... That look like Donnarumma or Courtois these days. They are all a bit smaller, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, Edison, and you know, it is a way to do it, but it just seems like it's always been a tactic. It's always reserved for the bigger, more physical teams. But I don't understand why there was... It felt, as a Spurs fan, that there seemed to be this constant conversation about it when they've always been men being put on goalkeepers. Players been put on goalkeepers.
Saka versus Foden seems to be a big one this week. I'm happy for that to have a ban. People going after Saka, I just don't get it. I was really confused by it. I can't even be asked to talk about it. Peter Drury, let you down.
Big moments is all I say. Just leave
they
that.
They are turning on him, aren't they? They're turning on Peter.
Who?
Peter Drury giving us a poem for a Rashford shot on target. Turning on him a little bit. They're a little bit fed up with him. Shame.
I genuinely wish there was an opportunity to turn the commentators off and just watch football, like, and just have the crowd noise. I'd much rather that. Cannot stand listening to these people giving their opinions.
Yeah. I agree with world champions. People who tweet very obvious bait for interactions just because it lays on Twitter now. Lays.
What does that mean?
I don't want to name names. But I'm really, and I probably am bad for it. I'm sure I am, and it's my blind spot. But I'm really struggling with football creators' tweets at the moment. it's sort of like they don't feel authentic at all. And it's like, and I know it's Twitter and I know it's my problem, but it's like they're sort of going, they're saying questions about players that played in like the mid noughties and why they're better than every player that's ever existed. And I'm like,
yeah,
fucking relax. Like, I didn't ask for that. Like, no one's talking about that. What are you on about? I just don't.
Just mute them.
Struggling with it. I am going to have to mute a lot of people, I think. I'm really on the edge. But do you know what the problem
is? I've muted everybody.
They're people that I really like.
I mute my friends. They know this as well. They're muted because you're having conversations in WhatsApp, then you're reading it on Twitter, and then you're like, I can't do this anymore. Especially if it's one an opinion that you don't.
It's just like, I think the problem is because I know them. I'm like, you're not walking around thinking about these things and then going, this needs to be told. I need to let the world understand this. I'm just like, what are we talking about here?
Do you know what I understand?
Flav, have you muted James? Have you muted me? I would be absolutely fine.
No, not currently, but you do. When you release Arsenal videos, you get muted for a bit and then I unmute you after it's passed.
That's fine.
Rory was muted. I followed Rory and just muted him instantly, and he knew this. He knows this.
Yeah. I'm fine with people muting me.
What I found, right, the older I get, the less tolerance I have for people that have different opinions of me. I'm like, it's good to hear other people's opinions about it. You know, it's kind of, what I want is a lovely echo chamber where only my opinion matters and people that agree with me. I don't want to be debated, right? 42, I've made my bed. This is the way I think. I'm not changing.
Yeah. I also think
that's 1 week ban. Anyone's opinion on football that doesn't agree with mine, 1 week ban.
People thinking their content changes is changing the world as well is fucking ridiculous. That's a lot of that. So, okay. Lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff in terms of 1 week bans. Is there anything you'd like to ban this week, Flav?
Good.
Give you the opportunity. Is there anything?
No, that's fine.
No, it's fine.
No.
Okay.
Well, just out anyone who doesn't have the same opinion as me.
Yeah. Shout. Good shout. Kenneth Powell on corners.
On everything. Shout. Everything.
Okay. Soldiers Lost in Battle. Here comes your moment. Born Red films. So this was a couple of weeks ago. Didn't really get through them all last week because Flav was having a crisis. We're drawing a line on it. It's all fine. Here we go. Sorry. And then we got Weird Flex. Really good Weird Flex this week. So Ben said, forgive me. I know it's actually just to give you a bit of equality on the argument last week. Ben said, Jim's lost his head at the end there. And we, the slugs, are the only ones who have lost out to more juicy Soldiers Lost in Battle content. Be better. Flav, solid job as always. Okay. So Born Red Films, here we go. Soldiers Lost in Battle. I missed Liverpool's now legendary 4-0 against Barcelona for my then girlfriend's birthday. I went to the bathroom so many times to check the score. She probably thought I had a prostate problem. I didn't even get a nosh on the night for my sacrifice. It is her birthday. Like a long night out. Great night though. Great party. No, I really enjoyed it. I missed the Liverpool Barcelona game. Yeah.
For your birthday.
Maybe so.
This is what I'm talking about.
What are you going to do about that? Can I have a nosh, please?
Normalizing sucking off your mates. It's like, just go around your mates' house. Just go around.
Okay, right.
It's your birthday.
That's in a mailbag. So you need to then explain what you just said there. Because you can't just chuck that out. This isn't the same. Like, there's a paywall. So explain what you just said.
No, I'm just saying that there's a school of thought where, you know.
Which we discussed on the mailbag this week, which was.
That perhaps you should normalize sucking off your mates. Because, like, just do them a favor, right? Sometimes they might need one.
Do them solid.
Do them a solid. Mm. And the way I see it is, I don't want to give you a lift to the airport at 4 a.m. to catch your flight wherever you're going. But I would do it for you because I'm a mate. I don't want to help you move house, but I would do it for you because you're a mate. I don't want to give you a blowjob. But I would do it for you because you're a mate.
What about if I said, right, I need you to take me to the airport at 4 a.m. and you need to suck on this sweet that tastes like a toilet the whole way there.
How are you going to get any gratification out of that?
I'm just saying that's like the blowjob element.
Yeah.
You know, God knows where people's penises a bit.
You're overthinking it, Jim, unfortunately.
I'm just saying, just trying, like, I don't think it's the same as driving someone to the airport, because you can just you can zone out, can't you? With this, you've got with a blowjob, that's very like, that's quite intimate. You're close up, you're right. You know, this is, it's a real act of labor.
It's exactly the same.
Okay. I think hand jobs are the same. I just think blowjobs just feels like a much more, there's a lot more to do. Anyway. And right. Gianfranco's Shola. Soldiers lost in battle. This one sticks. I'm a Newcastle fan that went to every Champions League game this season, bar one. Which one? PSG 4-1 at home. That is heartbreaking. Reason being, months ago, I agreed to go to a, I think it's, I don't know this band, Five Seasons of Summer. What is that the name of the band? Five SOS.
Yeah.
Concert with my girlfriend, as none of her friends wanted to. Plus, why would I be doing anything on a random weekday? It killed me. I avoided any knowledge of the game and watched it the next day blindly. Was absolutely buzzing with the game and result, which made it worse that I missed what's arguably our best result in the past 20 years, if not ever.
Yeah, it'll be the, you missed the greatest result your club has ever, will ever have.
Better than the 5-0 against Man United way back when? Maybe.
Yeah.
And Ollie Carter, soldiers lost in battle. My mate missed the 2022 World Cup final, arguably the best football match ever and definitely the best I've ever seen, because his girlfriend booked them tickets for Harry Potter at the cinema as a surprise. To this day, Jesus. He pretends he isn't gutted to have missed it, but there's a look in his eye that tells you he's lying every time. We finish off with, I'll give you the weird flex. We'll finish with that. We've got two great weird flexes this week. Get your weird flexes in. But I do want to just show you guys this, if I may. Last week, I made a mistake. I showed it at the end of the podcast. We had one of our patrons, Tom, he said, oh, I'm currently pissed. And he was doing his typing wrong. And we were like, is this nonsense? And he said he was in Vietnam, right? And he sent me this picture, right? So this is what As I saw it, I saw this picture, because he was talking about this Cobra whiskey and him trying to cross the border. And he said, this is King Cobra. I tried to transport across the borders. I genuinely thought for a minute I was ending up in a Lao prison. We'd asked specifically for a spoon. So I wrote underneath, I was upset after
falling. What is that I'm looking at?
It's a cobra in a bottle of whiskey.
What, an actual snake?
Yeah.
Why have they done that?
Yeah, it seems a bit cruel, doesn't it? I said, no spoon, you're a fraud.
How have they done that?
Look
at the way it's sort of perfectly... Dead. Yeah, but how do you get it in the neck of the bottle and get it like perfectly placed like that?
Just poke it down.
Oh, yeah, that's probably the technique they use. Yeah, just poke it like that.
Anyway, I feel bad, Tom. I just want to apologise to Tom because I called him a fraud. And then he went, have you not seen my message before that? So I scrolled up a bit. And actually had done a picture with a spoon.
With a balloon.
Yeah. He said, how dare anyone question me? I did, however, go down to reception with my shorts inside out, which was met by a confused receptionist. I only spoke Lao language and Chinese when I asked for a spoon. Keep up the good work, boys. I'll keep watching for the next 2 months.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Good stuff. He's finding himself. So him in the spoon, that's great stuff. Right. Weird flex. I've got two. First one was this one. Hi, James. I didn't realize I had my own bang average weird flex until a sluggy mentioned it. I can also move my ears hands free. Here you go. Look, I've given him the wink initially. Here we go. Look, you see his ear wiggling?
Yeah. I think I can do that.
Good wink at the end. I like that.
No.
Okay. Right. But prepare to be blown out of the water. Because... yesterday I got sent this. My reply was, wow, okay? Don't look at it just yet. Okay. Look away. Weird flex. Right. I can't remember the specific age which I discovered that this was a weird flex, but I remember the circumstances that led to its discovery. I was intent on learning how to raise an eyebrow or two should the circumstance require it. While practicing this maneuver in the mirror, I discovered that I not only have a horrendous sense of muscle control within my head, but I will forever go down as my embarrassing party trick. As you can imagine, the standard questions of, oh my God, is that real? And oh my God, is that a wig? always get thrown my way. And to confirm, this is not a wig. This is my real hair. And I have the ability to move it back and forth as the situation requires. Okay. Right. Let me get it set. Don't look. Right. This is mental. Right. Here we go.
Oh my God. That is mental.
Look how far
Look how much it moves.
That's crazy, right?
Get that off my screen. Get it away from me. Get it away from me, Jim. I won't look at it anymore.
And there you have a Jeff and podcast.
That isn't a fucking flex. You're a freak. Mate, that is, I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Wild, isn't it? So, please send me stuff that will elicit the response. Lyndon, Flav Lyndon saying, just gone, I've never seen anything like that in my life. Hypnotising stuff. Well done, Reese. Thank you, Reese, for that. Much appreciated.
Yeah, nice one, Reese. Cheers.
And that's not this Reese. It's a different Reese. We've got two Reese Joneses. Unbelievable. Right. Become a patron. Join us for said mailbags.
East middle name's Biddle. Mm. We had a kid at school called Biddle. Ricky Biddle. Ricky Biddle did a piddle on the kitchen floor. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.